You are seated on the throne of Jasper. You reign in majesty, Elohim.
Elohim is your name.
You are seated on the throne of Yeshua, and you reign in majesty. And you reign in majesty, El Shaddai.
Is your name.
Oh, you are seated. Say,
you are seated on the throne of Jasper.
You reign.
You reign in majesty,
El Kibo.
Tonight we give you praise, we exalt you. We have come to burn incense in your tabernacle, that thy mighty hand might be aroused, and the jealousy over the land might quicken you. May it please you not to relent until our walls are salvation and our gates are peace. We trust you to perform your counsel by a mighty hand. Thank you again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the International Eagles Conference that will be coming up in the month of May, we have made very concrete plans to upgrade our air conditioning in this facility. So as I speak to you now, we have 12 10 horsepower units that have arrived the premises. And so maybe at the April contact, we will test our cooling. So it's an advance announcement for you to be appropriately dressed to contain the new equipment. Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. This was the scripture that came to me in the place of prayer today. And I asked a question. And this was the scripture that came. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The verse 2 is the object of the download I got from heaven. In the midst of the streets of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's what I got as a response to my prayer. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So the first question that I asked, for which this scripture came as a response from the Spirit, was, is it possible for a nation to be sick? Because right now we are seeking therapy for the ailment of nations. And he said that the leaves, that's how he spoke to me, right? The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. So this scripture now forms the major scripture that is going to undergird the emphasis I'll be bringing to you in this interim season of transition. Right? So this is the scripture that undergirds everything that I'll be doing until God restores our nation. It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. All right. Bearing that in mind, let us do Bible study. Because you might be asking, like myself, can a nation be sick? What can we say the affliction or the sickness of a nation really is? Because one of the commodities that God has made available is designed to bring healing to the nations. So nations can be sick. First of all, I'd like you to see the way God sees nations. Are you there? I want us to see the way God sees nations. Maybe I'll begin to introduce you to that concept from the book of Exodus chapter 4 verse 22. You must understand that God sees nations in a certain way. And part of the intercession, the object of the intercession of sons, is that we need to ask God for nations. You must have seen that in the book of Psalms 2. It's part of the intercession of sons. If we say we have matured, if we say we have grown in God, if we say that we have come to that point where we can manage the estate of our Father, then the Lord deploys us to become guardians over his estate. It is in the context of guardianship that we ask God for nations. And we ask God for the uttermost part of the earth. Oh my, you are not with me. You have not gotten it. Now, we need a scripture quickly to bring you into understanding before we go to Exodus chapter 4. And that scripture will be Psalms 24. Psalms 24, verse 1. We need to. A psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Stop there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So there are four things here. The earth, talking about the mineral earth, the fullness thereof, everything that has to do with, that is sustained by the earth. Then the world, talking about the systems that thrive in the earth, and they that dwell therein, talking about we, the sons of men. And all of these commodities belong to God. So when we begin to ascend in the ladder of sonship, God now makes us managers of his estate. You know, there was a time when the major thrust of doctrine is that we should give our life to Christ and zoom off to heaven. And unknown to us, the earth belongs to God, the fullness belongs to God, the systems belong to God, and they that dwell therein. And God is looking for sons that are matured, that can manage the estate of our king. Please help me tell your neighbor, we would not be flying out. We will manage the estate of God. Meanwhile, it's expected. We need to know that if God wanted us to migrate to heaven, the moment you gave your life to Christ, he would have made provision. You know, there were in the Old Testament, the Bible speaking about Enoch, the Bible says he was not. Because what? God took him. So there are many vehicles that God has. Transportation to heaven, there are many, many vehicles. We saw that Elijah was transported into heaven through the agency of a whirlwind. And that whirlwind is still there. We were not even told how Enoch was transported. The news that broke out on this day was, and he was not. They checked his house, checked his farm, checked his company. He was what? Not. So we were not told the means of transportation that he used to be not. Amen. In the case of Isaiah, the Bible reveals that it was a whirlwind from heaven that came. You know what a whirlwind is? Something like a tsunami. Something like a hurricane. So he was in the center, in the eye of the hurricane. And that was the centripetal force that launched him into the corridors of heaven. You still remember Jesus? Hallelujah. You are not following. You are not there. So the first question I need to ask about the example of Jesus, how many times did Jesus ascend into the heavens? Anytime I ask you questions like that and I face the pastors, they will just frown. Oh, God! How many times did Jesus ascend into the heavens? How many times? Once. You don't study your Bible. Jesus went, he trafficked between heaven and earth so many times. I can tell you 7 times. Huh? Yes. Okay. I know you don't believe. But don't believe me. Believe the Bible. Do you realize that when Mary Magdalene came into the garden to look for Jesus and she didn't find Jesus and she began to weep, Jesus was on one of those trips to heaven. It was her weeping that made him, he was already in transit. It was her weeping that made him come back, and she wanted to hug him. Said, no, because if she had done that, salvation would have belonged to Mary Magdalene. Everything that Jesus went to secure, because he has not yet appeared before his Father, he was to take his blood into the Holy of Holies so that a permutation can be done in the algorithm of God's justice system, the balances of justice and equity, had to analyze that blood, whether it was weighty enough to be the reason for which God will blot out sin. That equation had not yet been carried out at that time. And he was ascending as the high priest into the Holy of Holies. And then this woman began to weep. And as powerful as the mission was, he aborted mission and came to attend to her. Right? He said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Jesus ascended 7 times before the one you know about. So the vehicle, meanwhile, I don't have time for all the exposition, but I've done that study already, okay? And maybe one of these days, maybe not even this year, I can't teach it this year. So the vehicle that transports men from earth to heaven, there's nothing wrong with the engine oil, the spoke, the the parts. The vehicle is still very active. So if God wanted us to be transported to heaven after our salvation, I assure you, we will not be here. We will be having service in Zion. Part of the reason why God decided to allow you remain in Oju, remain in Vandekia, remain in Belgium, is because there are some management responsibilities. He's hoping that when you arrive at the in full age of grace, you'll be able to take up some kingdom responsibilities and manage the estate of God. Okay, is that clear? So because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. So when we begin to mature as sons, then we begin to understand the need for management in the estate of our king. And then you begin to pray the kind of prayers you find in the book of Psalms 2. Ask me and I will give you the nations. There is, if we have time, in this series of teaching that I want to do, all right, if we have time, one of those evenings I will show you what the Bible calls power over nations. He that overcometh, will I give power. There is, oh my God. I know you'll be asking God for a shoe, asking God for a belt. You need a lace. That's good. Ask, get your lace, get your shoe, get your belt. But you see, there's something much more than that. He said, he that overcometh, I will give power over nations. That's our destiny. When we are fully incorporated into God's management architecture, and his estate will be in safe hands. His estate will be in the hands of men that understand his pattern for leadership. Are you with me? So, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Uganda are part of God's estate, and God needs managers. It is because of a shortfall of adequate managers that people that are not in God's family are allowed, on the strength of the permissive will of God, to handle the saddle of responsibility in pioneering the affairs of nations. And any time God takes the risk to allow people that are not members of his kingdom to manage his estate, it becomes very easy for the devil to manipulate that estate consistent with the intentions that the devil has in mind. Oh, you are not following me. Are you there? All right, so we can do Exodus chapter 4 now. Exodus chapter 4. So we'll look at the situation on the ground before we look at the situation within the astral context. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, this is God speaking to Pharaoh. And in some of these scriptures, you are going to see the way God sees nations. Then when you begin to see the way God sees nations, then we'll be able to talk about nations, whether nations can be sick. Because there is a provision in the kingdom of God for the healing of nations. Meanwhile, I prayed for your miracle service, prayed, and what I saw that God wanted to do was not to heal human beings, was to give us a template on how he heals nations. Because Nigeria now needs the oil of joy in the place of mourning. Needs healing. Okay, so in the book of Exodus chapter 4, beginning from verse 22, the Bible says, And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Next verse. Okay, let's just. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Just so that you will know that there was no struggle in language in these two verses of scripture that I just read to you. In the eyes of God, he sees a nation as a man. If you consider that context, the context very critically, he says, Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. Let my son go so that he will serve me. It is his destiny to serve me. But just in case you use your political power to stop my son from giving me the pleasure of service, I'm going to show you judgment. And the judgment is going to be equivalent to the level of grief that you are making me suffer. I'm going to slay what? This is a sovereign God speaking to a mortal man. And the metaphor that was used to depict a nation in this scripture reveals that God sees nations as individuals, as corporate personas. You get it? It's a corporate persona. Like Nigeria now is a corporate persona. We see 200 million people. God sees a corporate Nigeria. As we proceed in the scriptures, you will find there were scriptures where you will hear in the book of Exodus, and Israel lifted up her voice as one man, a corporate persona. There are so many people, but her voice was lifted before God, not as so many people, but as one man. Now, it will interest you to know, for instance, that in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, which is the major scripture that we make reference to when we talk about spiritual warfare, the warrior, as depicted in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, is not an individual warrior. It's actually a corporate warrior. So there are times when God has sufficient administration to be able to come to an individual like he came to me today to talk about the healing of nations. He has enough administration to address me as an individual. But that's not all about God's administration. God can also address us as a group. So he can speak to me as an individual. He can also speak to us as a group because he sees us as a persona. Now, this lens, this is the eye view of God that we will need to sustain as we run along with this teaching. So, first thing I need to bring to your notice is that God sees nations as men. Now, so, can a man be sick? Is it possible for a man to be sick? A human being to be sick? All right, so it's possible for a human being to be sick. It is also possible for a corporate persona to be sick. And the meaning of a corporate persona being sick is that corporate persona is now compelled to begin to do, to fulfill things, to accomplish things that are not in the original template of God for her. Any such departure is an indication of a foreign organism trying to master that corporate persona and to give that corporate persona an assignment that is not consistent with ordination. For instance, you find that Israel was supposed to, the journey from Israel to, from Egypt to Israel, for any feeble man, is a 6-day and 6-night journey. But how many years did it take Israel? It took them 40 years. It was not the intention of God for them to spend 40 years in the wilderness because it's a 6-day journey. So a 6-day journey was now enlarged. It became 40 days. So in the permutation that we'll be using to analyze the book of Exodus, 6 is equal to 40. We'll use that permutation for the analysis of the book of Exodus. Then you will find out that there were 42 places where Israel journeyed and stopped. All right? Are you there? Oh, you're not there. Wow. You're not there. You're not there. Hallelujah. There were how many places? 42 stations where Israel journeyed and stopped. And these stations are significant. They are prophetic. Because by the time we go to the book of Matthew, when we begin to check the genealogies from... Let me check it again and tell you as it is. Yeah, when we begin to check the book of genealogies, the family tree leading to Jesus, and we start from Abraham. Count how many generations to Jesus. Have you tried that before? So go try it. And then when you get the answer, you come back with the answer. What answer did you get? How many generations? 42 generations, equivalent to the 42 stations that Israel made in achieving a journey that on a good day should be for 6 days. Nations can go through routes that are not ordained by God. They can go through processes that are not engineered by heaven. God can actually be angry with nations as he can be angry with individuals, and because of his anger, he can allow them fulfill something for a season that is not part of his eternal plan for nations. And many men will be wasted for no prophetic reason in those times of judgment. Just like a lot of guys died in the wilderness. Right, and they were wasted. Those were guys that whose names would have made the chronicles of great things in the plan of God. But because of rebellion, God allowed them to circumvent and to travel through the wilderness. Not because there was any prophetic objective. It was because of the stiff-necked nature of the hearts of the people that were journeying with God. And they could not see his divinity, even though he guided them by clouds and by fire. So the thing about nations is deep. As we labor in Bible study, you find out that the heart of God is full of generations and nations. So when you begin to pray about nations, you catch the interest of God. Because it's something that is readily upon his heart. Are you there? So we are going to take Israel as a case study. And it will interest you to know that the Bible called Israel God's firstborn. The Bible didn't call Israel God's only son. It means that Israel is a firstborn, is a prototype son, is a pattern son. The things that God did with Israel is what God wants to do with every nation under heaven. So Israel gives us a pattern. He gives us a prototype. And if we can understand God's dealings with Israel, you will see that that's the same way he wants to deal with every nation, to bring them into the fullness of his vision concerning them. Are you there? Okay, so I want to show you the constitution, the heavenly charter that was designed by God to drive Israel as a corporate persona. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. To save time, we'll just go straight to the scriptures of interest. Exodus chapter 19, we'll look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. Exodus chapter 19, we look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. You need to follow patterns because, and then use Israel as a ruler to judge what is happening in nations. Then you'll be able to adequately predict where we are in the journey. Is that clear? All right, so This is God's vision for Israel. And now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Now, can you see something there? Can you see some requirements? Who need to, what? Israel needs to what? Keep his commandments. Israel will need to what? Obey his voice. So if Israel can satisfy these two requirements, what will be the outcome? They'll become a peculiar treasure unto him above all people. That's a brilliant way of saying they'll become an example of what God does to a man that decides to yield to him. Now, it is very easy for you to exempt yourself as an individual from the teaching that I'm doing. And you say, okay, we are looking at the corporate persona, not the personal context. It will surprise you to know that the principles that affect the corporate persona affects the personal individual. So God is also saying to you as an individual that if you can obey his voice indeed and keep his commandments, that you will become a peculiar treasure. It means your life will be set apart as an example of one that has been adorned with grace because you have decided to serve the will of God. Are you there? All right, verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. This is the vision. This is the vision that God had for Israel, to make them a kingdom of priests. And I need to explain to us what God means by a kingdom of priests. You know, I told you that India is a nation of philosophy. I told you that the United Kingdom is a nation of education. I told you that Germany is a nation of engineering. I told you that Ghana is a nation of gold. It's the Gold Coast. Are you there? We don't need to go into Nigeria now. Well, every nation has a texture. Every nation has a texture. The most predominant reality that drives and shapes the affairs of the nation is descriptive of what the nation is. I know you know where, but we will need to change that narrative, and it's our generation that is going to change that narrative, because presently we're a nation of corruption. That's what, and our electoral system has revealed that we cannot go to the polling booth, you know, and this is simple addition, right? Polling booth one, right? I voted for Labour Party. Are you there? And then polling booth two, we count you voted for Labour. Polling booth three, you voted for Labour. Simple arithmetic. Add what came from polling booth one to polling booth two. How many of you saw some of the hand-filled documents which I have worked in the most sensitive aspect of the oil industry, where we will not accept even typed certificates. We will not accept it. You must be handwritten without any form of cancellation and without defexing. That's, I worked there for years. You must have a strong hand to stenograph the results of the calculations that we generate from our daily activities of fiscalization. I was in that domain for how many years? For 11 years without any accusation of fraud. There was no ambiguity in the results you tender. The use of TPEX is an abomination. And then we see handwritten results
It's as if we're a joke. Because even the standards that are established in the oil industry, we didn't even see it in what translates to what the collocation of the hopes of a nation. And it is quite emotional for seemingly credible eyewitnesses to go the way of politics when all kinds of atrocities have been committed in high places. Even in ordinary mathematics, we have people in the educational sector here. When you see cancellations in Excel, it means there was transaction, there was an activity that is contrary to the spirit of integrity, which should be the principle that drives any educational system. Are you still with me? Now, so we have different kinds of nations. And it will interest you to know that our description as a nation of corruption is far from God's original ordination. It's a state of ailment. That's what I'm trying to draw your attention to, that nations can be sick. And I will use the scriptures to show you the spiritual complexities that lead to the ailment of nations. If I succeed in doing that, then I will take you to the book of Daniel and show you what intercession does. Hallelujah. I was with the Holy Ghost. I monopolized the Holy Ghost today. He came to me and began to give me understanding. Began to whisper. I want to assure you that I don't know the Bible, but the Holy Ghost that I work with does. He said, have you considered the scripture? He will quote the scripture. I don't know what the scripture is saying. Then I trace it. Then the discussion continues. Even in the bathroom, he's speaking. When you are putting on your shoe, he's very loud. He's even loud. So you spend more time. You put it on, you remove it. So that if the shoe is what is encouraging him to speak, remain there. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Amen. So the vision that God had for Israel was that he wanted to fructify a nation of priests. Not a nation of education. Not a nation of philosophy. Not a nation of trade and investment. But a nation of what? Priests. That was God's concept. That was God's design for the nation of Israel. And any time Israel begins to fulfill any other thing that is contrary to this vision, it may even be an economic explosion that is responsible for the departure. That departure is a state of ailment because the nation is beginning to fulfill something that is contrary to God's blueprint for the land. Do you understand that? Do you realize that an individual can be wealthy in the eyes of men, successful, and everything he is a departure from what God intended him to be? He's in a state of ailment. Are you there? It means that some forces other than the Holy Ghost have aided him to go in the wrong direction fast. So you need to be careful what you call success. You need to be careful what you call prosperity. It might be chains and prison houses, fetters and bounds that you call success. And when men hail you, do not respond. Because none of them is your creator. You can never succeed until you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive thumbs up from Jesus. Every other thing you do. Huh? Are you there? So don't get excited for the wrong reasons. Yeah, I went somewhere and some people tried to make me important. Meanwhile, they were not aware that I was before Jesus to get a scorecard of my level of compliance. Are you there? And I had not finished giving me the feedback. I was still in the process of seeking his mind, seeking how he views me, how he views my efforts towards extending his influence upon the face of the earth. I was still in that process. And then some people wanted to make me a celebrity. Now, if you are not careful, if you are not careful, you will be derailed. You will be walking in the wrong direction fast. And when they look at you from heaven, you are far away from what God had in mind. So God had a vision for Israel, a nation, a kingdom of priests. Now, this is the meaning, the simple meaning of the kingdom of priests is that everyone that is an Israelite will be in the service of God. Now, the idea of priesthood is to serve God's will, give God an opportunity to express himself. That's what priesthood is about. We give God an opportunity. For instance, prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. When we begin to labor in prayer, we give God an opportunity to express himself. So if the Bible is saying that God ordained the nation of Israel to be a kingdom of priests, he's saying that each and every one of us is going to be in the service of God. Now, in this little building here, how many of you are civil servants? You work for the Benin State government or for the Federal Republic of Nigeria. If you are in this room and you work for the government, either at the federal level or at the state level. Let me see here. So we have a few people working for the federal government, state government. And listen. So you can see that the people working for the government are few compared to we that are not in direct service to the government. Now, the idea God had was that everyone will be a functionary in Israel in the matter of the service to God. Is that correct? So it's a kingdom of priests. So each one must understand the gates to which he is assigned, the unique duty that God has assigned him, and he preoccupies himself in fulfilling that duty. That's the idea of the nation that God conceived concerning Israel. That everyone will be in the Lord's service. And that's why I taught you. I said there's a difference between your job and your work. Your job pays you salaries. Your work pays you rewards. Your job is temporary, is earthly. Your work will pave your way for you in eternity. It's an investment into the window of eternity from time. I also told you that if you are wise, you will use the proceeds that you make from your job to sponsor what? Your work. I was aware of my mission very early. I think my first angelic encounter was at the age of 7. I will never forget that. Then the second angelic encounter was at the age of 13. That was when I was taken to heaven for 8 hours. Right? Then I saw my calling at the age of 13, that I was going to be a preacher. I saw people going to hell, including some of my relatives. And I told the angel that was taking me round the heavens. I know the part of heaven I saw very clearly, very vividly. And I can describe it, I can draw it, I can show you how that part of heaven looks like. It is still fresh on my mind. But God has not given me the liberty to speak so much about this encounter. I saw the angels that fought for my deliverance. Because according to the angels that was giving me information, he was in custody of a scroll. And my life was that scroll. And he was reading it to me. According to that angel, I was supposed to die at the age of 13. And the reason why I'm here is because they just rescued me from death. And there were 4 of them that were responsible. 4 angels, one of which whose head was high up into the heavens. I'll never forget that. Are you with me? I saw things that God has not allowed me to speak about. So I knew I was a preacher. It's also interesting to know that I was warned from that place. Now that my life was rescued and I was going to come back into the earth, to fulfill my mission, and they showed me the mission. Are you there? So it means that my life on earth doesn't have any meaning apart from what? Mission. You can get involved in business and start a nightclub and put red lights and you boogie. You see, hallelujah. You will need help quickly. Because anything that doesn't strike a chord with what was written in the original documents in eternity, what in fact it doesn't exist. You can even become the president and lead your way into Azeroth. Speak big things. But if it was not written concerning you, at the end of the day, it is you that lost. So I was privileged to see the end of life. And I now realized what was important. It was to fulfill the mandate on the heart of God. That there is no other excuse to give that you did not fulfill that thing that will pass. Are you there? And the Lord warned me when I came back. Because I was rescued from death. I was given another chance and all of that took place at the age of 13. I was a young lad, but I understood clearly everything that happened. Meanwhile, in the natural, my mom, being a nurse, I had high fever. She had struggled with all of her tools to get me, to resuscitate me, and that it wasn't possible. I came back on my own accord. I saw the other side. Are you with me? Jesus warned me before he released my spirit to come into my body. He warned, and the way I knew it was what, for eight hours, because a clock, do you understand? I was lying this way. A clock was this way. So I knew when I vanished from here, I knew what the time was. Do you understand? And then when I came back to consciousness, the first thing I saw in consciousness was, so I did the math. That's why I say it's 8 hours. Are you there? So when I got back, when I was going back, meanwhile I made it to heaven. For your information, I was there with Jesus. At 13, I made it. I was there with Jesus. We were moving around, and it was a great experience. Great experience. Hallelujah. But I think a time will come when the Lord will give me the utterance to discuss those things. Maybe when I'm much older, when I'm really going, then I'll say, all right, you come. Let's talk. But I still have so much time. Yeah, Jesus. If you meet the people that hate me on the streets, tell them that he said, he's still around. So when I came back, before I got back into my body, Jesus said, if you ever test of sexual immorality, you'll come back home. That is me. He told me now. So, in my own eye, there was nothing else that was sinful. The ultimate sin was sexual immorality. Because Jesus told me that the mercy that I am squandering in coming back to this life, that mercy will be exhausted the day I attempt what? Sexual. And it will interest you to know that I've been tempted in that area a lot. But the words of Jesus have been my protection. May you have the voice of God locking in your brain, in your head, to keep you from straying from the path in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as a married man, you are going to be tempted in that way. Even as a preacher, people see you burning with fire. You are an endangered species. There are those that will believe that life for them has been made if they have a moment with you. But Jesus told me, if you become loose and you violate this matter, you come back. So I knew that. It's not enough to hear a pastor. You need to hear Jesus. You need to hear him. Because you are likely to stray on the path of destiny and become involved with things that do not strike a chord in eternity if you do not hear the voice of Jesus. It will interest you to know, oh brethren, that God wanted to make a nation of priests out of Israel. But to our dismay, God was not able to achieve that. The only thing that God achieved was a tribe of priests, which was a tribe of Levi. Are you there? Maybe you would have seen the glory with which Aaron was inducted into priesthood and the garment he wore. And people say, the Lord is God. And you would think that was God's vision. That thing that is being modeled through that tribe was supposed to be a national reality. So Israel fell into sickness. It was a national sickness that created a compromise where only one tribe is poised to fulfill that which was supposed to be the dream of a nation. Are you still following what I'm talking about here? Only one tribe. The rest of the tribes began to fulfill things that were not in the script. And that was how they built the structures of the nation to accommodate priesthood just among a tribe. Meanwhile, it was God's vision for the entire nation to be a nation of priests. Remember where we are coming from. The Bible says that the leaves of the tree were for what? The healing of the nation. Whenever you see an aberration, find expression, in a situation where God had a preordained idea, and that preordained idea doesn't get to come to pass, an aberration manifests. It is a product of a lot of warfare in the spirit. Things that you see, trends, patterns, we call them records, that a record has been broken. If you check the back end of the realities of things that take place, you will find out that there were vicious entities that were seeking to possess the hearts of men and to plant seeds and make those human beings pawns on a chessboard. A chessboard for perversion, a chessboard for influence, a chessboard for subjugation. And if you begin to see a pattern gets accepted that is contrary to that which God intended, then we have accepted the ideas of foreign spirits that are set out to pervert our pure destiny. God said that if you guys can obey my voice and keep my commandments, I will make you a peculiar treasure above all nations. Who will want to escape that kind of description? Peculiar treasure above all nations. And God's vision will be clear in that nation. This is a nation of, I will make you a peculiar treasure. Nations will need to travel to come and learn your administration, to come and learn your warfare, because everything will be captured in direct context and you will become a consequence of a vision that I conceived in my heart. You will be a marvel among nations. As laudable, as powerful as that vision was, when the time of implementation came, it was only one tribe that could step into that dream. When you see aberrations like that, then know that there are battles overhead. Now, you see, these battles overhead, if God gives me utterance, I've been praying for utterance, I will show you how they take place. It's a big scripture. It's very big in the book of Genesis chapter 4. How spiritual entities influence men to set up systems upon the face of the earth and to build things that are contrary to that which God has intended. So that at the end of the day, God's vision will not come to pass. Can we run that? We'll run that before we go to the book of Daniel. My real lecture is in the book of Daniel. But if I just open to the book of Daniel, you will not get what we are talking about. You will not understand why sons pray for nations. Ask me, the Bible says, and I will give you what? The nations. Why is that a prescribed prayer point? Ask me, and I will give you power over the nations. All right. Where did I say we'll go to? All right. So let's begin from Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now, before we begin the reading from Genesis chapter 4, and I just have 53 minutes to make a complete sense. If we succeed in making a complete sense within the scope of these 52 minutes, I'm going to stop. And then the next lecture, I will now bring the book of Daniel and show you the politics, what determines the shade, the color, the type, the shadow of the manifestations that you see in nations, and the duty of the sons of Zion to bring restoration back to the original blueprint. Even your family has a design from heaven. And in the place where prophets are supposed to rise, are you with me? Is you I'm talking to? In a family where prophets are supposed to rise, then Satan will sell the idea of idolatry. And the people will become so committed to idolatry. Meanwhile, the original purpose was that there will be a household of prophets. It takes a lot of spiritual politics to arrive at that equation. And if God can have as much as one man that is accurate with him, he can begin to claim the ground again so that the ground will be tilted to fulfill his original intent. Are you that man? If you are that man, then Nigeria will not drown. Are you there? All right. Let nobody accept what is happening in the land. It's contrary to the blueprint. It's contrary. And I speak so passionately because I've been an ambassador of Nigeria to different nations. Yes, I bore the flag. Yeah. To different lands. And before I arrived at the places where I came to, some other Nigerians had come there and made for us a very terrible name. Yes, so my going to some of those places made the people change their minds about Nigeria. I've been doing the campaign, that quiet campaign of restoration, I've been doing. Yes, so I have a right to speak for Nigeria. Have you right? I told you my story. Last year, a nation invited me to be part of the swearing in of their president. A nation, not a church, not a pastor. A nation invited me, paid for my ticket on their airline. I was in business class. A nation. So when they brought me to where to sit, they said, this is the seat for Nigerians. I said, I'm not here as a Nigerian. I'm here as a representative of Zion. Oh my God, there is, oh my Jesus. This is not my seat. I look for my. Yeah. So they now located my real seat. It was not nationalized, it was for Zion. That was where I was. I don't want to finish the story because your heart will break. While I was weeping, because you need to hear the shout, because those guys voted the person they wanted. Are you following? Their hopes were not kidnapped. You know, we have experienced kidnapping of human beings so much that it became easy, convenient to kidnap the hope of a nation. Their hopes were not kidnapped. They are beloved. They voted him in against all odds, and I was there on that ground. You need to see how they shouted for liberty, for freedom. When that guy drove into that place, gee, I wept. I said, God, will you do this in my lifetime? Will Nigerians release, ventilate? Will they cry for freedom like this? And see it come to pass. I was weeping on my seat for 2 hours. And it was a public place. So when you are, anything you are doing is public. I was unconcerned about people's perception of me. I was there for Zion's sake. And my jurisdiction was Nigeria. Oh, you need to see that, the glory of that day. The glory of that day. When that great man swore by the Bible. I say, Kai. Not by Ogugu, not by Swem. Not by Akpam. Not by Shongo. He swore by the Bible. And I went on my knees. And I began to weep straight for 2 hours. For 2 hours. Are you there? Guess what I saw after 2 hours? Raised my head. I saw some of our prophets. Eh? And prophets, you know, in Africa, marketing prophecy, trying to tell the newly elected functionaries that we prophesy too. See? Hey. May you not be an agent of Satan. When God is building, when God is restoring, then some people came with the flesh. And the reason why I will not go beyond what I just said, because those people are people I respect. One of them is someone I respect. But what I saw him do there, he needs prayers. Because he has served the Lord, and I'm aware of it. So he needs prayers. He needs serious prayers. One of the people. If you have ever moved in the anointing before, you will know that you did nothing for the anointing to come. It is sovereign. It is the glory of Jesus. And if you are privileged to carry, to walk in that glory, you need to do it with fear and trembling. And give glory to God every day. Never use it as a platform for self-projection. Because you would have violated the covenant. Only the fame of one should be heard among the nations. And the fame of Jesus, the fame of his anointing. And just in case, you become known. It is incidental. It was not part of the package. Eh? Yes, not part of the package. So, be known as one that was in active service to him. And that's your own portion. Hallelujah. Not that you are marketing, trying to be known. And the resources with which you are marketing are supposedly resources that were handed out to you by grace. If you are marketing to be known, it means that you do not trust the process that God has put in place to elevate you. You have veered off. And see, these veering offs don't take place just like that. There are spiritual politics behind the scene that leads to a nation veering off from the mark. Now, I want to show you something quickly in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Then if you can understand that, we'll proceed. Genesis chapter 4. Now, the back end of the story, the account we have in Genesis chapter 4, is that as at this time, Satan had rebelled in heaven. Satan had been cast out from heaven. And I hope you know, you've read the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And you must have seen the vision that Satan had in mind that he wanted to implement in heaven. Are you there? You've seen that vision before? It's in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. So, here on the screen, just give me Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. So Isaiah 14, 12 to 14 is a prophetic story that the prophet Isaiah told about the fall of Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend into heaven. It means that the estate where he was assigned was not in heaven. He was a guardian of the mineral earth. And I don't have time for that. Mineral earth. So he was a guardian. He was reporting from the earth. Right? The mineral earth. What you have in the book of Genesis chapter 1 is the vegetative earth. The one that trees and vegetation began to spring from the ground. Are you there? That's the vegetative earth. But there was an earth before the vegetative earth. And in that earth, in that season, in that aeon, Lucifer was the guardian of the mineral earth. Right? So, he coveted an office. He coveted a position. He coveted a ministry. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God, there's the angelic level. So, I'm going to go beyond the angelic level. So, the place he was coveting was beyond the angelic level. I will exalt my throne. And notice he was a throned entity. He had a throne. And if you see that he had a throne, it means that he was part of God's Senate. If you go to the book of Daniel chapter 7, you are going to see God's Senate. In God's Senate, there is a number of angels that must be present. There are reporting agencies that must be present in the court of heaven before God will sit to judge. And all these ranking angels have thrones. Right? There is also an aspect of the court of heaven which is for ranking men. And that was the status that Abraham attained unto that warranted that God would have to come and tell him what he wanted to do. It's not every prophet that has earned the stature to receive God's intelligence for the things he wants to do upon the face of the earth. No. Only ranking prophets that are full of active service. Full of active service. And Abraham was an example of such a ranking prophet. And God was coming to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was within his jurisdiction. As a ranking prophet, he was a member of the heavenly senate. God cannot just come into his jurisdiction and then perform something without telling him. Because he's part of the senate. So there are men that will need to be raptured into heaven. In form of encounters. To be updated about things going on in heaven and decisions taking place in heaven that will affect their territory. Those are senators. In heaven's affairs. A nation suffers when they don't have ranking men that have appearances in the courts of heaven. It's not about making noise and jumping on the pulpit. That's not what makes a savior. That's not what makes a savior. He takes rank to be operating from headquarters. It takes serious rank. And you can masquerade many things. You can lie about many things. You can even deceive people on the pulpit. You cannot lie about rank. Are you with me? Because if you have such rank, we will know it from your utterance. the things that you have liberty from heaven to speak about. You know, your tone will not be the tone of mortal men that went for theological training. When you talk about the territories that God has set you over as a guardian, there are details you know that a Bible school graduate may never even know in his entire lifetime. So that was the status that Abraham had, for which God had to come reveal to him the things that he wanted to do in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you realize that God gave Abraham the privilege to even influence his decision, because he's a senate man. So this Lucifer had a throne in that place. And if we go to the book of Zacharias, I can show you the corridor of the immortals. I can show you the corridor. Even there are spirits of just men made perfect that need to be captured in that conclave. It's a general assembly. Before decisions are made about nations, before seasons come over the body of Christ, seasons, so that people can be elevated. Oh, Jesus Christ. For you to pass the screening that heaven now say, this is our man. The kind of thing that happened to Peter in the book of Acts chapter 10, when he was about, they were trying to prepare breakfast for him. He went to the house top and he wanted to, he muttered something like prayer and he fell into a trance. You see, it was not his prayer that generated that vision. Heaven was looking for an opportunity to give him insight into the policy direction that has been sustained in heaven. That right now, heaven's plan is to take the salvation that is among the Jews now and take it to the realm of the Gentiles. And Peter was the man that heaven chose. Do you understand that? Peter was a man. So the vision was to alert Peter of the decision that has been taken among the immortals, that you are the one chosen to open the door of the kingdom to the Gentiles. You are an apostle, and you will bring my name to the Gentiles. That was what it was about. And when he had the encounter, he began to counsel God. Let me not trouble you. You see, except you have access to what is happening overhead, you will be lost on the ground. Are you there? Alright, so. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Now, the mount of the congregation is the mount of Zion. That's what we call the Mount Zion. In the topography of heaven, where Jesus' throne is, are you there? Is the highest part of heaven. That's where his throne is. The reason why the throne of Jesus is in the highest part of heaven, according to the book of Ephesians, is so that he can fill all things. So that the potential difference will be created, that the essence, the reality that it contains, will fill everything in the ecosystem of God's universe. It was that mount that Lucifer was striving to conquer so that he can sit as administrator. And if he sits as administrator, he will share equality with God. Was that mount, and it was not given unto him. So he fell. The story of his fall is that he aspired for something that was not his ordination. Do you get that? That is the summary of the story of his fall. And it will interest you to know. Are you there? All right. So how did Jesus make it to that mount? Because Jesus is the current occupant of that mount. That's where his administrative office is. That's where the throne of grace is domiciled. The way Jesus ascended that mount was that he said that equality with God was not anything to hold on to. He was willing to die the death of a criminal. And you will notice there were seven levels of death he had. There were seven things he had to die to in order for him to eventually die as a criminal. So the Bible says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. You see, the exaltation was done by God himself. And that was how he ascended into that administrative office that is captured in the highest part of heaven. The one that say it is an ambition for me to ascend. He fell. And his story was told in prophecy. You get it? So before the Genesis chapter 4 that I want to read to you, there was an ambition that Satan had to possess the mount of Zion. To go beyond the stars. To sit as administrator in the congregation of heaven. But you see, he fell in that expedition. Now, so the idea of what happened in the book of Genesis was that Satan was cast, the judgment was that he was cast into hell. Are you following? You are not following. When they cast him from heaven, it was not earth that they cast him to. They cast, the real judgment is to cast him to hell. But unfortunately for us, the underworld is, earth is between heaven and the underworld, unfortunately. So when he fell here, this was the first point of his falling. He was able to find Adam. He had an interaction with him. And the vision that he could not accomplish in heaven, he walking through Adam now wants to accomplish it upon the face of the earth. So it is Adam that prolonged his stay in this cosmos. Now he has a designation called the Prince of the Power of the Air. Because we gave him employment. We're willing to work with him to fulfill his agenda. So Adam did not just rebel. Adam rebelled because there was a spiritual force, a spiritual being that came to bend his mind. So when you see civilizations upon the face of the earth that are contrary to what God intends, don't go too far. A spiritual entity that is vast in mind-bending has come to implement a vision that is contrary to the vision of God. That is the reason why you have departures away from that which God intends to implement among the people. God calls us to pray for nations because they are vicious beings that have come to infuse into the hearts of men, into the hearts of foot soldiers, into the hearts of the populace, a vision that is contrary to that which God has in mind. So nations can stray. But the same way as individuals, we have a purpose from God. As a corporate persona, as a nation, we also have a purpose from God. Do you get that? So, in the book of Genesis chapter 4, you are going to see how civilizations from the kingdom of darkness began to be implemented upon the face of the earth. This is supposed to provoke you. Just in case you are called, you have a ministry, and what you are seeing is not what God told you, it's time for you to prepare yourself for spiritual warfare. In your family, you are beginning to see patterns that are contrary to what God told you. Oh my. It means there is a brilliant entity that is hell-bent on ensuring that the family fulfills another destiny that is not consistent with what God has written. And that's why I started from that scripture, that there is provision for the healing of nations. That grace is designed to bring the nations back to their original blueprint with God. Nigeria has strayed. We have wandered in the wilderness. We have for too long. A 6-day journey has become 40 years for us. And it will interest you to know that we have even fulfilled the 40-year cycle. So this is the time that God will need to arise and have mercy upon his people. Because the time of judgment is overpast. There are people masquerading under the agency of darkness to prolong our days of wilderness experience. But the sons of Issachar, they are among us. And they have read the tablets of time. And they know that our captivity needs to come to an end in this season. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Hallelujah. Now, because I don't have any more time, we can't jump into Genesis and we can't jump into Daniel, which is my emphasis. I'm going to stop by showing you Israel. The firstborn. Let's study about Israel. What is the reason for that nation? The nation is supposed to be a nation of priests. That's number one. Where everyone is in the service of God. So, are you there? Are you there? When God was not able to accomplish this vision through Israel, that's why he decided to give us that scripture that says that you, the church now, you are a peculiar people. It was Israel that God wanted to implement that with initially, not you and me. But when he couldn't find place to do it, he found another nation that bore his name, which is the church. And then he told us the same things that he told Israel in the time of old. That you are a peculiar people. That you are a holy nation. He told Israel that. It was Israel that was supposed to fulfill that. What is now our lot and portion, thank God Israel did not fulfill it. So at least we can look at Israel and look at what God intended with Israel and know that we are the spiritual Israel and God is willing to do exactly what he wanted to do with Israel with me. I am a holy nation. The days of compromise where ministries and preachers excelled by compromise, those days are ended because these are the days of the holy nation. Now, if God is going to restore righteousness into the land, because the description of our DNA, our gene from heaven, is a standard bearer for righteousness among the nations. And whenever Satan takes over the saddle in the land, he will create the opposite of what the original destiny was. So out of us, he created a nation of corruption because we are supposed to be standard bearers for righteousness. But what the devil is not aware of, he's not aware of you and me, that I've made a vow that we will win by righteousness. He's not aware of us. A new generation has come forth that despise the altars of corruption, despise the altars of perversion. We are ready to pay the price, to go through the tunnel, so that the brilliant light of God's approval might shine upon us. And that God might look upon our lands through our altars and our labors and our sacrifice and say, no, I bring peace. Because he was able to find 10 in the land that had not yet defiled their garments. So the reproach and the judgment will be stayed. He was able to find 50. He was able to find 1,000. That's what the devil is not aware of. That the quorum is complete and God has stayed the judgment on the land. So anyone seeking to smuggle in the symptoms of the wasted years will no longer prosper. The hammer of God will fall on him. The hammer of God will fall. The hammer of God. It's a long teaching we'll need. I need to build so that each and every one of us will become responsible for the estate of God called Nigeria, for the estate of God called Africa. In kingdom nationalism, I have weaned myself from being a denominational preacher. I've even weaned myself from being a national preacher. I speak for a kingdom that is not of this world. If you put me in Africa, in other nations, when I begin to preach, you will think I'm from that nation. Because the voice is, oh my God. May you win yourself. Because God is looking for vessels to fill. Another story is about to be told, and that story will be told from Africa. We've seen revival in the Middle East. We saw the things that happened. We've seen revival in the United States. Oh my God. There is one story left to be told. You must have read God's Generals. You read about John Alexander Dowie. Who did you read about? Jack Cole. The story has not ended.
Yeah, there is a story, a customized story that will come from the continent of Africa. It will be told in languages that are not known. The fire of God will arise. Nothing will stop it. We have watched in intercession for many years, for decades, I tell you. The bright light that shines now has never risen before. Just like there was a star that arose, marking the birth of a monarch, a king, there is a star. It has never risen before, and we see it rise, because the time of our destiny has come. The days of our reproach have been measured. Our intercession has ascended unto him, and the Lord will restore. Romans chapter 9, from verse 4 and 5, as I close. Who are the Israelites? That's the question. Number one, to whom pertaineth the adoption? Now, are you there? I don't know when last you looked at the map and you saw where Israel as a nation was situated, and her enemies surrounding her. She's just like a strip of real estate. Mighty enemies surrounding her. And they have not been able to conquer her. Not necessarily because of her military might, but because of the covenant that establishes her in the earth. So Paul is trying to give us some insight, because we need to know who these guys are. They use obsolete air artillery in the last major war they fought. Obsolete and defeated armies that had sophisticated bomber jets. You need to find out who they are. Their weaponry were obsolete, but it did not change anything. The covenant was on their side. And so this is a research work that Apostle Paul did to give us insight. He said, who are the Israelites? The first thing he revealed about them was that it is to them that pertains the adoption. It means that God looked at all the races of men and decided by an act of his sovereignty to adopt them as a specimen that is going to walk on, to use to show all nations what he intends to do when men yield to him. It will also interest you to know that you also have received the spirit of adoption. Because Paul says, we have received the spirit of adoption, wherewith we cry, what? Abba, Father. So the same way Israel was chosen, that's the way I was chosen, to become a specimen for all nations, for all men to see what God can do through a life that is yielded unto him. Oh my God. The Bible says, to them pertaineth the glory. Are you with me? Or you are not with me? I don't want to open the book of Colossians, but I may be tempted to do that, but it will eat our time up. Have you read that scripture that says, Christ in you is the hope of glory? The seed of eternity was planted upon your heart through salvation. And if you yield to his promptings, his influence in your vessel will begin to grow. And the more his influence in your vessel begins to grow, the more your life will be a manifestation of the idea that God had in mind in glory's past. So the same way to them pertains the glory, the same way Christ in you is the hope of glory. To them pertaineth the covenant. So there was a covenant that God had with them. That was called the covenant of Moses. But in the New Testament, we have the covenant of Jesus.
And the Bible says that in this covenant, there are greater promises that is established upon better foundation. So if there were covenant people, then I'm more covenanted. And the foundation upon which my covenant stands is the power of an endless life. I'm just trying to show you a picture. Just to show you a picture. That God always has a design before he begins to accomplish. He said, to them is the giving of the Lord. There were instructions that God gave them as a proof that his government was intended to rest on them. The Bible reveals two systems of government. The first system of government is what we call the law. And God exercised his authority over the house of Israel by the law that he gave them. The second system of government is what we call grace. In the system of grace, God in you becomes the one that empowers you to fulfill the things that he demands from you. This is a better arrangement, a better covenant, established upon a better foundation. I'm just trying to show you who you are. Are you there? Because you are the spiritual Israel. Is that clear? Now I need to show you who Nigeria is. Because just like you are a man, you have a name, you have a destiny in God, Nigeria is a corporate persona. He has a name and he has a destiny in God. If you don't know this, you may not know how to pray or why you need to pray. God gave, like I said before, he gave the Germans engineering, gave the Britons education, he gave the Indians philosophy, he gave us revival. It is from this kitchen, Nigeria is God's kitchen, where revival will be cooked and exported to the nations of the world. Our destiny is intrinsically related to the move of God that God intends to bring into the nursery that he has in this house. Nigeria prospers to the extent to which we model revival in the land. And what we call the oil boom from the back end was the SU revival. What generated the oil boom is the SU revival. Anytime we begin to operate in our capacity, then we begin to prosper as a nation. Unfortunately, because of immaturity, it was that prosperity that the revival brought that brought us into league with devils. But we have matured. We have matured. Every time we begin to model a revival, then we begin to prosper. Everything begins to work. Security works. Transportation works. But when we begin to journey far away from revival, then you begin to hear things like headsmen, terror. We were raised for revival. And those of us that are priests know this. If we fail, every other thing will fail. So the restoration will begin from the house of God. When God has a man child, then if you try to smuggle in corruption again, you will die by the sword. Unfortunately for people that still continue the old game, they are not aware that the seasons have shifted. And God has looked down from heaven and he has begun to see people willing to serve him again, people willing to work with him again, people willing to fulfill his mandate again. You know, the politicians don't know that. One of the political figures walked into my office and I saw that he was campaigning for someone. I said, sorry, this person is losing. And I speak as a prophet. He said, yeah, I want to give him my potential. The day the results were called, in fact, I just spoke with him today. He said, you know, when I saw the results, that your voice was in my head. He is not aware that sons have risen. Meanwhile, it's not a big deal to know the future. That's where we dwell. We dwell there. Oh, those days it was a big deal. Not now. Not now. They are not aware that sons have risen. Men that God can give territories to. men that God can give nations to. So the old craft of corruption can no longer prosper. It can't prosper. And I will show you why. If we were to go to the book of Daniel, you will see why. It can no longer prosper. There's something happening overhead. And I saw it in the spirit. I saw it in September. I saw it. That thing happened overhead. Nigeria shall be free. And the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. There is a river that will flow out of Nigeria. It will bring healing. Yeah. It's flowing already, but it will still flow in greater magnitude. A higher current as it gushes forth. This is the nursery of revival. And all the woes we have experienced as a nation is because of our destiny. Burkina Faso can, I think they are in peace now. And Chad and Senegal, they are in peace. Benin Republic is in peace. But we fight because Israel is not just God's only son. Israel is God's firstborn. And the same way Israel was called, Nigeria also was called. And our destiny is so clear. The house of revival. The house of fire. The house of the burning flames of witness. The carriers of the spirit of Elijah. Of justice. And of judgment. Rise on your feet, let us pray. So if you ask me, will we go down? No, not anymore. Now it's time for us to rise. So all the corruption and the wickedness that you saw, it will fall like a pack of cats. It will fall. It will fall. It will fall. The book of Ezekiel chapter 37 speaks about a river. It flows from the fountain of God, under the throne of God, and it empties itself into the wilderness. The Bible says that anything that is about to die, or anything that is dead, that comes in contact with this river of life, it will come alive again. It will revive. It will be quickened. Can we call on the river of life? Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. That scripture where we read. He said, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's the river I'm talking about. It brings healing to the things that are dying. Dying nations, dying men. Dying governments, dying people, it brings healing to them. Can we invoke this river right now? Flow into Nigeria. Flow into our land. Quicken that which is about to die. Make it live. Make it come alive. Make it survive. Oh, dia tebila hasen, konde la siko bresko fila konde, miso salando, padre katuza nahila brasketoria. That the river of life might flow into the land, flow into the nation. We banish every weight of depression upon the heart of anyone by reason of the show of falsehood that we saw a while ago. Igo Balis Chantale Kumane Sokombi Nazai Kompale Presko File Bakidia Mahandevo. There is a healing river, pure as crystal. It is the water of life.
proceeding out of the throne of God. Come, O river. Come, O river. Come, O blessed river. It is time for Nigeria to be healed. It is time. Abose kadiabonde manakosele. Falsehood can no longer be retained in the domain. Liars will be cast out. False measures will be cast out. Judgment will come. O river, flow. River, flow. River, flow. River, flow. And she's so manteni abokombre, babosi kabaka mantala. Yekuria basando, ontekelo mi, asino kosketa brande baboria. Melusa selimo kora bande, esose lai kompela, rakande babosi. River flow. Cabo Silo Bronde, Babante Sila, Rai Campala, Bosque Tobonde, Jesus Sela Bacadillo Monde, Adila Mante, Yacabonte, Yacamanta La Bonde, Escombadiso Sobro Copo Conde La Ba. River flow, River flow. Oh, 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 Ataito come salabona, la canta senti, la canta babone, shamina capresco da palataria. Mamma, 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 mamma. E la calimo santeria, amre con popora si, yata bacala bose, yata sedenagida, yata santoria, yata cola bandere. Yata sabakute brasketala, apala masanteria, ala bloka tekura babaya, asila batonde. Ayakope la sina. Ataya Copella Santoria, Eso Socorria la Babonia, Ateso Sadi, Atapamanda, Atrascaya, Atrascaya, Samananda Babola, Atrascabina, Atracabasela Conda, Alaisabi, 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 Ebrazabi, 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 Babola, Salamaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As you leave your closet, this is the prayer point. Let the river of life flow into Nigeria. Flow into Plateau State. Flow into Benue State. Oh, let it flow. Let it flow. Bring in healing. 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 Healing to the land. Healing to the land. Yes. And in the same breath, say, we reject falsehood. We reject the days of lies. We reject deception. Yes, the reign of deception comes to an end. Kovesa sali kopakula habame. O masaito kopre maigo salita. Isamina ila. Oke ebrahaba suketamina kote. And river flow. River flow. Now, don't put it close to your mouth. How many times will I tell you? River flow, river flow. And I beheld in the spirit, and I saw the heavens open, and I saw the river of God, and the Lord whispered to me that he will show the sign. There is something he will do in the nation, but he wants to show us the sign here. He will open this river and it will begin to flow through the vessels of men. Here. The gates, the flood gates of the river will be released, will be opened. And it will begin to flow through the vessels of men. It will begin to flow through the vessels of men. It will begin to flow through the vessels of men. Oh, Jesus. Flowing through the vessels of men. Sio veseli ekombe lamo sheminaite kaboria siko babala kovezia tama raske tombre hebe laito isofela makedi mobris ovelo kopres kito baminaite
I see someone in the congregation. Someone in the congregation bound by chains of darkness. You have sought for liberty. You have sought for salvation for a long, long time. You even came today not expecting that anything will be done about the chains that you bear. But I see God stretch forth His hand and the chains will hear. He's giving way right now. He's giving way. He's giving way. He's giving way. It's breaking. It's breaking. It's breaking. It's breaking. Holiness! Break! Siavo se mande. Kubahabre. Someone has been released. Yeah, someone has been released. Someone has been released. The yoke is broken. Sibokoria Baban Seli. Isabella Kopre etiquette. Is a mountain. I see oil dripping from heaven. Oil. 3 drops of oil. 3 drops of oil. And there are 3 people in the congregation that will be anointed. 3 people. In the congregation will be anointed, and the anointing is coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Holy Ghost. I am seeing someone in the congregation that is favored by God. And this favor is going to attract angelic presence. Because I see the angels of heaven visiting you in your closet to uncover to you secrets of the heavens. There is one individual in this place that have found that favor. There is one individual in this place that has found that favor. And the hand of God will be strong upon you. The hand of God will be strong upon you. The hand of God will be strong upon you. Be strong upon you. Will be strong upon you. Will be strong upon you. Will be strong upon you. This is your moment. The Lord brings you into line. Brings you into line. Yes, you've walked in the wilderness for a long time. But now He brings you into line. Into line. Into line. Esso se la kilo premo sali kababres kufatama. A new season breaks. A time of peace. A time of righteousness. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's time to speak in tongues for the next 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I sustain me. Rosna Bobozi Nahaide. So Santome. Rastetomoko Balai. Isazendi Akambre Babondo Kosgeza Iko Braminal. Escofelamante Iko Brambe Salato. Kembro Bokosi Izo Salini. Lai Kompani, Asamarantani, Rokenanzi, Aisi Kompela, Ikabres, Ababa Bonsami, Kapreko Kobilas, Isamin de Ebrekete, Pabindo Havalia, Samiko, Bosketa Pila, Raka Santoria, Ekupa Bensu, Ramis Kete, Leko Patula, Yakose, Ebrekete, Ubaba Santoria, Apresco Tea, Isamakoro, Obrekelia, Hamesi, 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 Abosai, Apamena Ipobe, Iskopena Hantel, Alia Cabelo, Alia Caberosami, Atomba Ari, Atomba Skelibonde, Atomba Cobrestate Bala, Asamakande, Ria Sico, Ria Mantelli, Asua Bala Cantelli, Urabasa, Urabasa, Ura Selimoco, Entope Catisca Prasketoma, Asila Moria Cabas, Aya, Aya. Oh yes. Yes. Araboda, Roscatua, Ista Bendo Congre, Alama Sila. Yando. And there was a whitish substance on their hands. And I began to wonder, what exactly, what is this? And the Lord said to me that he called them the healing messenger. They are here, three ministers, all right? He called them the healing messengers. These people will receive a visitation the next 21 seconds. As the river flows, it begins to bring everything to life.
is life given in you. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. Is the life giving in you? Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Flow. It begins to bring every death into life. It's the life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here. As the river flows,
as the river flows,
it begins to bring every death into life. Amen. We may be seated. Hallelujah. Our land will receive the life-giving river once again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.